Okay, welcome to the Secret Circle podcast. This is the pilot show, and I'm David E., the moderator of this, the Secret Circle podcast panel we have here. And with us today we have Paul Joseph Ravelli, Camille Perkins, and Ryan Higgins, all of which are very familiar with Thelema and medical work in general. The topic for the discussion today will be new gnosis, and I will just start off by reading a couple of questions that will get our panel and you, our listeners, thinking. And after I read these questions, we can get into the discussion pretty quickly. So the questions we will attempt to answer this evening or investigate this evening are: what exactly is new gnosis? And why is new gnosis important? What is the benefit of new gnosis, and how has new gnosis been of benefit to you? How may we apply new gnosis, and do you have any certain experience in applying new gnosis? Who is putting out new gnosis, and who is not, and how can we validate? And finally, probably talked about the idea that once a master departs from his physical body, they leave the current. Now, what does that mean, and what does that imply? So, did you get all the questions?
They're easy enough. I think I'll join. I'll start off here by saying that new gnosis is the essential, important element in a living tradition. Most religions are dead. They honor something of the past. But each generation has to really redefine its relationship with the divine. And in that light, new gnosis becomes an essential element. Otherwise, we end up with sycophantic worship of dead people. And, of course, their words move more and more out of context with each succeeding generation until a host of confusion starts to ensue and we lose any sense of unity inside the current itself. The current begins to splinter off into a thousand sects, and that does no good. I think that's a good place to start.
Okay. Well, that's a good opening thought on that. I was thinking maybe we could get Orion, for example. What do you think about new gnosis? What exactly is new gnosis?
To me, new gnosis is light and more importantly, enlightenment, which begs a whole other question. When I say enlightenment, I don't mean a guy like a Buddha or a person walking around holding flowers. I mean light, awareness, consciousness, a light bulb going on. And so new gnosis means new light or light, a new light shed on things that we're not aware of. And this is necessary not only for the emotional, psychological, intelligent fulfillment of the individual, but for our social and physical survival as a species. It can manifest as new scientific discoveries in regards to the material plane. It manifests as new forms of art. It manifests as new forms of mythology, theology, music, etc. So it is new light, and hence enlightenment on all of the planes. And it has to be current, meaning it has to be now, and it has to connect the past that we know to the experience of now that we're having, and lead us constructively into the future. And that's all I really have to say on that now.
Everybody else, just feel free to comment on that. Tammy, for example.
Hi, in 93. When I first looked at this question, I started off by looking up what is Gnosticism. And it was really a pre-Christian movement where they had emphasis on esoteric knowledge. And nowadays, it can mean a form of esoteric knowledge or wisdom, basically a form of living knowledge in which you find a lot of connections between things, sort of relevance or synchronicity. And we could say to call that clairvoyance or clear vision, which is sometimes deemed to be a sort of psychic ability. But for somebody who already has that tendency, it can be quite normal for them, not only as far as individual insight, but they could possibly use that to get insight on a collective or a universal level.
I think there's a couple of things that both Ryan and Cammy have introduced. I like the idea of psychic or intuitive insight, Cammy, and of course that always works out inside of both aesthetic or artistic production as well as scientific production, so that when people are working on a purely creative plane, they end up producing, shall we say, psychic synchronicity information. When they're attempting to actually be spiritual and work for psychic and synchronicity information, they tend to be very artistic. Creativity is an important part of this whole thing. And for those that aren't creative, I go so far as to say they cover it up with their worship of dead masters because they have no creativity in their own accord, so they need to become psychopaths, worshippers of whomever, whatever.
Well, yeah, I think this is a response to fear. There's always the risk when you're creative of being wrong, of not being accepted, usually of not being accepted, and of conflict in having to prove your new vision or your new insight against the many people who want to challenge it. So it's very easy for everyone, when we're at our lowest, to just make an idol out of something that has been and was done. This is the main motive I see behind what I would call the museum curators of Crowley's legacy. They're doing a great job at looking after his books and maintaining his library, but it stops there.
And that's the psychopathic behavior, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And it has its role. The slaves shall serve, as it says in Liber L.
Yeah, but of course, though, the pretense is that these guys are, you know, leaders.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, so there's a lot of information in this. So you talked about the psychopath.
Uh-huh. Yeah, those are people basically who are sucking on a pipe connected to the toilet that the bishops are sitting on.
They're worshippers.
Who will basically eat anything you'll give to them. They're the people who are addicted to psychics, the people who are addicted to Dr. Phil. Tell me some more on what to do.
Okay,
yes, they can't get enough of the movie, you know.
So you're basically talking about people who externalize their creativity, basically.
Oh, I don't know.
I wouldn't call it creativity.
I wouldn't even go that far. I mean,
but they don't have real creativity on their own, so they need this source of it outside themselves.
They probably need to project it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Okay, so one at a time. We'll start with Ryan, then Cammy, then Paul.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I don't think that it's that they don't have any creativity. I think it's something that we all have, but do we cultivate it? Do we allow it to grow? And I think there are some of us, due to the accident of our environment or just due to the nature of who we are when we're born in this moment of space and time, have a tendency to suppress and shut up our own creativity, so it doesn't really grow and flourish. And many, I think, then continue that that attitude and that behavior toward others who want to create, and for the reasons that I had mentioned earlier. Cammie?
I think it also has to do with appearing stupid, even to oneself, to realize that you're unaware of so many things, and so they copy or they hold on to the work or the insight of other people, kind of like a security blanket, and basically they have to learn to take themselves seriously when it comes to knowledge.
I can piggyback easily on that, Kevin. Yes, not just appearing stupid, but in order to avoid appearing stupid or to avoid having, showing any lack of knowledge or what have you, one then relies on an invisible authority that carves demands and commands in stone. For example, we know of one lineage where Moda is not only, the supreme authority, but the living exponent of this lineage will constantly hark back to, well, Moda said it, this is what Moda did, to the point where he goes, well, my holy guardian angel spoke with your guardian angel, and you better do whatever I say. This is not contact with secret chiefs. Whether or not Moda is a secret chief or not, we can leave that up for debate. But McGregor Mathers was honored and respected by Crowley because he had contact with the secret chiefs. He generated new gnosis. The entire Golden Dawn system is set up. Then the contact seemed to dry out, and Crowley lost his respect because Crowley started channeling from the secret chiefs, and Moda stopped, and McGregor Mathers stopped. We see, after Crowley, we see Moda, we see Grant, we see these two guys really creating material, and then everything seems to dry up. Everybody's relying on whether Crowley is the boss, whether Grant's the boss, whether Moda's the boss. Nobody's stepping up and saying, I'm the boss, until a jerk like me comes along.
Okay. Name is Paul. Ask Paul.
That's right, right, right. With a J for the middle initial. Ask J. Hall.
So listening to all of this, it, in my mind, a distinction comes up. So it's like we're talking about new gnosis as a personal thing in the first hand, something that, Ryan, you mentioned light, that in a way, comes from within. Am I right?
This is how I see it. And it's light. It's not necessarily nice stuff. To me, light is this clarity of vision, and it can manifest in scientific discoveries as well. I see your average person who does great inventions or scientific discoveries also making gnosis, but they're working on the physical plane, where many magicians, clairvoyants, or mediums, prophets, what have you, are working more at the astral and creative planes.
And I think it's important there, Ryan, because you and I have done some work together now where we have both generated some new gnosis, piggybacking a bit off of each other's insights. Playing a jealous attack. Library 27, Library Dead.
Yes, and then I still haven't published it yet, but Liber Vow, which is my scrying of the Holy Table in the Enochian system.
Mm-hmm. Some of which you've put in Liber Ged.
Yeah, because it applied to Liber Ged in a very interesting way.
So we have a presentation of two guys, Ryan and I, who are sitting, shall we say, on the top of the chain here, And we're not having jealous ego attacks where, well, I'm the guy who touches the secret cheese. No, I'm the guy who touches the secret cheese. We're not playing, these kinds of histrionics because there's no, there's no power here to gain as far as, so we might rule over the anthill of dilemma. You know, maybe on a good day, 3,000 people in the world with 8 billion. Rather, we're looking at two co-creators that are able to create separately, together, with other people, and make this philosophical system called Thelema come alive in the present, in the here and now. There is no holy time. You should have been alive in Crowley's time. You should have been alive in Jesus' time when the apostles were walking on the earth.
A little thing of what I'm hearing from you, if we take that we've received from Ryan here about Nuno's being light, coming from within, and being generated in all the different fields of science, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about it in a way Thelema seems to be... The intention with Thelema was to not search for gnosis... necessarily search for gnosis generated by others, but in the end actually create new gnosis for oneself.
Well, I think both. I think you start out looking for the gnosis created by others, but eventually you must mature and develop your own gnosis.
Yes, when you're encountering new gnosis developed by others, in my opinion, it stirs up something inside of you. Which I believe is really your own center and your own source of new gnosis. It sees it, or it connects with it, and it starts almost like a vibration, and then it starts to grow as you continue to contemplate and interact with these other sources of gnosis. And I'm not really interested in being on the top of any anthill. What I'm really interested in is just knowing my true will and doing it, and encouraging others to do the same that are interested in it. And I think new gnosis is a byproduct of the encounter with our own true will as we aspire to be aware of it and to live with it.
It comes up from the center, somewhere in the center of us. It comes out of our action. It comes out of what we do. If that's the revelation of our will, it's not that we sit down and meditate and say, okay, this is my true will, I have to make paper airplanes for the rest of my life.
Yeah. It's something spontaneous. I think of like a spring bursting out from the ground, and it bursts out in any way that works best in that moment, and it has its own beauty because of that.
And once the spring is established, the river flows.
Will grow out of the side of a cliff.
Yeah. It's what you do. Look back at your life and
I think
say,
it's
what do
your,
I do?
Paul, I think your chair is like sounding.
Yeah. some new gnosis, PJ.
There you go. I was tapping the secret creeks from the secret cheat treats. It sounds like a new candy bar or something. Secret cheat treats from...
So maybe this is a very obvious question, and maybe it has already been answered, but I want to go a little bit deeper into this. So why is new gnosis important? On the contrary, to new gnosis not being created, why is it important?
It's up to every generation to define its relationship with the divine. Why? Because every generation has taken, at least in the tiniest aspect, an evolutionary step forward from the previous generation. So, with that tiny evolutionary step, it's a whole new relationship, gets required. It's like, a 16-year-old boy relates to a girlfriend one way, but a 17-year-old boy does it entirely differently. He's got one more year of experience at how to love and be in a relationship. So, the human race is constantly evolving. We talk about, especially in my article, Gnostic Cycles, we talk about ages. In Thelema, you know, the eon of Osiris, the eon of Horus, etc. These all require new relationships. And if we're frozen back in time, we're looking at an old relationship to an old god that doesn't exist anymore. And that goes the same, you know, the average teenager looking at the internet today and at a web screen can, within a matter of hours, learn more about Thelema than Crowley, Moda, and Grant combined before the internet. You know, information is moving exponentially. It's multiplying today. There's more need now than ever before for constant creativity and for that creativity to be very authentic and not ego serving.
Why? Exactly why is it important?
Mm. Could I try this one? Or Cammy?
Sure.
Maybe
yeah,
you have some
I was actually thinking of Cammy because I see what you post on the list and what you post on Google Plus and Facebook, for example, and it seems like you have a pretty, you have a lot of, perspectives or opinions about things, and you seem to value in a certain sense. I don't know if I phrased that correctly, but I was interested to hear what you have to say about this, actually.
I appreciate your input. I've been thinking about this for a while, and I've discovered there are different ways that you can tap into your own creativity instead of just waiting for some blue moon to come along and you write a nice poem or something. Like, it could even be having a new experience that you've something that you've never had before and don't have an inclination to. And that's why Thelemites are encouraged to be a well-rounded, or I would say a more developed person. For example, they have to be to take up some sort of sport or exercise. They should be sensual as well as intellectual. And when they start developing those centers, they can not only get new insight, but the gnosis is important because it's really about love to connect with other people and cherish that input instead of just keeping it all to yourself.
I love that you said love, that it's all about love. That's exactly it. Love is the law, love under will. Love is the foundation for everything. Now, something that doesn't get talked about in Thelema hardly at all in a lot of circles. You know, they'll give it a little bit of lip service, and then there's just a ton of hatred going on. And while that's yet a form of love, you know, this hatred results in restricted behavior. And that's the one cardinal sin that Thelema has managed to produce philosophically.
Well, the thing about living knowledge is that any religion or tradition is, I would say, acted out in the people adhering to it. And so you need a strong culture and you need a strong community. So I think that the term starving artist is no idle phrase there. You're going to have to get to a point where you feel this urge to connect to other people and contribute.
Yeah.
I remember a couple of weeks ago you posted a video called Science Saved My Soul. I don't know if you remember, but I thought it was really good.
It was a magnificent video. I loved it myself. Yeah, I think it's about time Thelema began to realize Crowley is dead, Moda is dead, Grant is dead. Do the three of them, S.E.F. Russell is dead, do the four of them, offer new gnosis in a lot of ways? They sure as hell do. And for many coming to Thelema for the first time, especially when Christianity is still the predominant thing in the Western world, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, Christism, as Mordor would call it, even though these are the predominant things, certainly people discovering these Thelemic masters, the writings of Grant and Moda and Russell and Ahad, are all new gnosis. For those of us that have been through the Thelemic system, if we're going to head magical lodges, pull ourselves to be at the apex of triangles and magical lineages, we ourselves, it is incumbent upon us to continue that tradition and to create new gnosis. We're liars if we're forcing our adherents to honor dead masters. Rather, we need to show that we ourselves are generators of new gnosis, that we capture a creative, living, vital current. And for those that have, that are like us, that have come through, all these other masters, there's yet need for more. It never stops. Just like life never stops. You gotta eat every day.
I know this is so cliche, but it's true. Dead men tell no tales, and let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah.
And then there's that book. I forget who wrote it. If you meet the Buddha on the street, kill him.
Yeah. You know my joke with most of the nasty Thelemites around the world. You know? You see a Thelemite on the street, run for your fucking life.
I have a couple of words also on why. Why bother generating new gnosis? Why is it important? Why is it relevant? There are many reasons. I think the most important reason, I would credit it to Ayn Rand's explanation of man, which also means woman, living for him and herself. And by living for him or herself in a healthy way, you produce creativity, you produce new gnosis. And it's this spontaneous production of new gnosis that just happens to serve society. But the goal isn't consciously to give something up for society. It happens spontaneously. And new gnosis is a good in and of itself, and that it is an act of pure love. And by love, I mean joy. When you're doing something where you're just fully charged and your inspiration is going at its peak, and you have the inertia of the whole universe behind you, is quoted in Liber Al, that is the place to be. I haven't met anybody who wouldn't want to be in that place after they've experienced it.
Well, also with Ayn Rand, to interject there, those that are forcing their adherents to rely on these dead masters, they're second-handers. They're
the second-handers.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the parasites. They're sucking up the dead master's work and trying to take all his adulation.
Also,
the
practical result of new gnosis is that, one, it stimulates this this potential in others, and also it leads to many practical things. It doesn't always lead to practical things, but many times it leads to things such as inventions or new philosophical insights that lead to knowledge and to ways of behaving that we need in this generation if it's going to survive, either socially or either in regard to its physical environment.
Everyone's
the last
genius,
reason I would give
some sort of example.
Sure. Let me think now.
I mean, an example of something that recently was generated that would could be called new gnosis, and that has actually affected the world in a good way.
Okay, you're asking for an example?
The internet.
Yeah, that's one great example.
Yeah.
any invention, pretty much, is an example of new gnosis of one form or another. Now, that's the most tangible and easy to measure thing, because our society is increasingly technocratic, and bases its criteria of good and practical on technical things. Now, if we go to something less tangible, such as art, with art, you get the exploration of different forms of consciousness. You start getting inspiration for new ideas. Let's look at the artwork of the alchemists, for instance, which may have inspired the interpretation of the DNA, which we're seeing now as a double helix, a spiral ribbon, which is much like the caduceus of Hermes that we see in alchemical artwork. So you have a connection between all of them. One thing inspires the other.
Yeah, in the 15th, 16th, 17th century alchemical artwork brings us into 18th, 19th, 20th century surrealistic artwork. Now, it brings us into post-industrial artwork, where we explore all of the various facets of our consciousness. In an age where the vertical relationship with God was severed by Copernicus and Galileo, and now there's this vertical relationship where we each must begin to relate to each other as gods.
Hmm. So, okay, so if I can just round up this question with... a final question about this question is, for example, if new gnosis weren't generated, what would happen then, and what would be the signs of new gnosis not generated?
Could
for
I
example,
nostalgia.
Organization?
Nostalgia.
Could I interject?
Yeah.
Come to the Middle East. And visit any Arabic country, and you will see the result of suppressed new gnosis. You will see inbred people with higher tendencies of disease and social ills. You will see dead animals near restaurants, and nobody's motivated to clean it up. You will see garbage everywhere, okay? And people full of hatred blaming all problems on everyone else. So it leads to stagnation and to a breakdown in everything else. You break down creativity, you start breaking down intelligence. Intelligence is intricately connected to creativity. Our current studies on learning technologies and approaches in education are showing this and verifying this. And you can see the effects in the societies where creativity is harshly suppressed, not just creativity, any kind of individual fulfillment or enjoyment.
Maybe you could see the same effect also on, for example, relationships in couples or in organizations.
It's the good old days for people, right? Everybody remembers the good old days. They forgot that those good old days sucked just as much as today sucks. Okay, but nostalgia. If we want to look at these fundamentalist Muslims and fundamentalist Christians trying to live in 15th century morality, the death of a living culture is when it becomes nostalgic, when it yearns for those good old days. That's because there's nothing alive capturing their hearts. So even with these dead masters being worshipped by contemporary Thelemic lineages, etc., you're yearning for something that's not there now. You know, and the result is impotence. Whether that impotence is, as Ryan says, you know, people casting garbage, you know, in the streets out their windows or whatever, and blaming everyone else for the smell. There's nobody standing up and saying, I'm going to take it upon myself to get something done. You know, and indeed, of course, that anybody that does stand up like that becomes a target.
Well, there are many cases here in some of the Arabic villages. One was a murder 2 months ago of a boy in high school. Mm-hmm. And they found the children who murdered him, and they said the reason they murdered him is because they're jealous, because he was doing really well in school. So that's why they murdered him.
Yeah, nobody likes anyone that rises above the pack of pigs. Everybody wants to stay in the pig stock.